Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article in AARP, the magazine, under the heading of Upfront, the A-List, Seven Surprising Things About Bobby Brown. One, her inner voice always said, you're not enough. Not smart enough, not pretty enough, certainly not tall enough. She's 5 feet tall. I'm sure if my mom were here today, she would say, that's ridiculous. You're beautiful. But my parents wanted me to be more beautiful. I don't hold it against them, though. Two, one of her great gifts, keeping it simple. I've been credited with creating the no-makeup makeup look. It wasn't 100% intentional, and I was warned by one makeup artist that if I kept doing this, I wouldn't work in high fashion. But I wanted people to look like themselves. Then I started working with photographer Bruce Weber, who happened to like the most natural look possible. That's a common theme. I find the people who aren't trying to change me. Three, if you're mean, she may just leave. I've walked out of makeup sessions because the stylist was so nasty to me and my assistant. Divas aren't worth it. Four, she has a uniform. I've tried everything but came to understand good tailoring, nice jewelry, just how to look effortless. So I have two T-shirts I'm obsessed with, and I wear them under a blazer or a cardigan. And two different brands of jeans I'm loving, plus J. Crew Kids button-downs. Five, the big makeup mistake of women over 50? We try to imitate the look we had when we felt we were most attractive. But you have to adapt and adjust everything, from exercise to what you eat to your makeup. Six, she says these beauty products are her go-tos. Concealer pencil, the kind that brightens and opens up your eyes. Blush, mascara, because my eyelashes have gotten fair. Brown pencil, to line my eye, fill in my brows. I even use it in my hair part when the gray starts coming in. And of course, sunscreen. Seven, she still lives by the phrase, so what, now what? For me this fall, the now what is about self-care. I want to go through my book tour like a trained athlete because it's going to be very busy. So I've been putting a lot of work in and good food into my body. And this was as told to Judith Newman. Makeup artist and cosmetics icon and entrepreneur Bobby Brown, 68, just published a memoir, Still Bobby. Now, also from the magazine, I'm going to look at some short things on traveling. Hit the beach for cheap. Enjoy warmth in these affordable and scenic seaside communities. San Juan, Puerto Rico. This city's best beaches include Isla Verde and the restaurant and hotel-lined Condado. For a culinary beach experience, visit Piñones, a nearby coastal area renowned for its street food stalls. Old San Juan's colonial buildings date to the 16th century. Then there's Melbourne, Florida. The Indian River Lagoon separates mainland Melbourne from its barrier island beaches, popular with surfers and beachcombers. In several reserves along the coast, nature lovers can look for birds, sea turtles, and manatees at the Canaveral National Seashore. Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Spend your days on white sand with views of the Biloxi Bay Bridge. Dramatic at sunset. Learn about local ecology along the Davis Bayou Trail, which winds through a coastal forest at the Gulf Islands National Seashore Visitor Center. And finally, Galveston, Texas. I was just there. Visit Galveston Island State Park for hiking, seabird viewing, and fishing in town. Tour some of the impressive mansions that testify to the port's early shipping wealth. Stroll the colorful post office street for art galleries and antique shops. Now, here's a tip about traveling, about air travel. Shoes stay on. New airport rules mean you may not want to pay for TSA pre-check. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has ended the policy requiring shoe removal at airport security. With pre-check, shoes could always be kept on. So now you may need that service to skip the main security line only if you struggle with long periods of standing, long lines cause undue stress or anxiety, and forgetfulness is an issue. Items taken out of a bag at security can get lost, says Sally French, a travel spokesperson at Nerd Wallet. And also, if you were over 75, you didn't have to take your shoes off. Bags no longer fly free. All airlines charge for checked baggage, some more than others. Southwest Airlines, the last major carrier to offer free checked baggage to all flyers. Since that policy was rescinded earlier this year, your large suitcase can't get there from here without fees, barring loyalty points, status, military discounts, or booking with an airline-branded credit card. How standard checked bag fees compare for domestic flights with coach seatings? Here we go. I'm just going to give the major airlines that we have here. American is $35 to $40 for the first bag and $45 for the second. Delta is $35 for the first, $45 for the second. Frontier, $34 to $99 for the first and $59 to $89 for the second. JetBlue, $35 to $50 for the first, $50 to $70 for the second. Southwest, $35 for the first, $45 for the second. United, $35 to $40 for the first, and $45 to $50 for the second. Now I'm going over to AARP, the bulletin, and there's an article under Your Health. Gotta go? 9 strategies to calm an over-anxious bladder. The world is full of adventure and opportunity, but many of us miss those opportunities because we're busy doing something else, looking for a restroom. Constantly having to run to the loo or waking up several times during the night to feel our way to the bathroom. It's what doctors call frequent urination, a common condition among older adults. Many people who have frequent urination also have overactive bladder, a condition in which you get an overwhelming urge to go that comes on suddenly and is difficult to control. Urine may leak out if you don't get to the bathroom fast enough. As many as 30% of men and 40% of women experience this problem at least sometimes, according to the Urology Care Foundation. Frequent urination isn't harmful, but it can be embarrassing and annoying, especially if that gotta-go feeling is keeping you from activities you enjoy. And if you wake up a lot to pee in the night, you should know disturbed sleep has been linked to health conditions including diabetes, heart disease, and dementia. Many older adults assume that peeing frequently is a part of normal aging. That's not the case, says Elizabeth Braxton, a urogynecologist with Novant Health Pelvic Health Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's definitely more common as you age, but it's not normal, she says. If you feel as if you are urinating too often, or if you're always thinking about where the nearest bathroom is, you should talk to your doctor about possible causes, Braxton said. Frequent urination can be a sign of a more serious condition, such as diabetes, a urinary tract infection, interstitial cystitis, or an enlarged prostate. It can also be a side effect of some medications, particularly diuretics. Sometimes simply changing how and when you take your medications can make a big difference, Braxton says. Whether or not you have an underlying condition, a constant urge to go isn't something you have to live with. The following steps could help calm your cranky bladder. 1. Drink water wisely. Many people guzzle the often recommended 8 glasses of water a day, but there's no science behind that number, says Karen Iber, a board-certified urologist at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. If you have a large person working outside sweating, they probably need more than that, Iver says. But a petite person who sits at a desk all day probably needs much less. However, if you don't drink enough fluids, that too can trigger more trips to the bathroom, says Elise Forsnight, a board-certified physician assistant specializing in urology at Aeroflow Urology near Asheville, North Carolina. It sounds counterintuitive, but urine is made up of waste products and it's very irritating to the body, she says. The more concentrated your urine is, the more irritating it is, and that gives you the urge to go. Let your thirst guide you, but aim for a minimum of 40 ounces of fluid a day. That's about 5 glasses. Your urine color is another clue. It should be light to medium yellow. 2. Monitor your diet. In one study, men who drank 2 cups of coffee a day were 72% more likely to have bladder problems, including frequent urination and leakage. Many other studies show the same association in women. But caffeine isn't the only culprit. Other known bladder irritants are alcohol, spicy foods, high acid foods such as citrus and tomatoes, chocolate, artificial sweeteners, and carbonated beverages, including unsweetened seltzer water. Experts recommend giving up all those foods and beverages for 2 weeks and then reintroducing them to your diet one at a time to see which ones are triggers. 3. Don't go just in case. Going to the bathroom before you feel the urge can actually worsen urination frequency. Most people sense that their bladder is full about 10 to 15 minutes before they really need to go. If you routinely go before that sensation kicks in, the nerves in your bladder will adapt and start signaling to the brain that you need to go sooner. When your bladder is half full, you'll start to have the same sensation you used to have when it was 3/4 full, she says. That line of capacity drops down. 4. Try to hold off a while. One of the most effective strategies is to not pee for 10 to 15 minutes after you first feel the urge, with the goal of building up from there. Don't go crazy. Regularly holding your pee for extended amounts of times, 5 hours or more, may increase your risk of a urinary tract infection or incontinence. Sitting down can help you hold off because it places pressure on the pudendal nerve, which causes a reflex quieting of the bladder, says Jill Rabin, a urogynecologist and co-author of Mind Over Bladder, a step-by-step guide to achieving continence. Contracting your pelvic floor muscles, doing Kegel exercises, also calms the bladder and can make it easier to wait. I tell my patients to take big, slow, deep breaths, then close your eyes, contract your pelvic floor muscles, and consciously tell your bladder to calm down. 5. Set a bathroom schedule. For even more control, consider a behavior therapy called timed voiding. Track how often you go to the bathroom and then set a schedule that adds 10 or 15 minutes to the interval between toilet breaks. So, for example, if you typically urinate every 45 minutes, try to go every hour. Follow the schedule even if you don't feel as if you have to go. After a week, add another 15 minutes. Keep increasing the interval until you can last at least 2 hours between bathroom visits. 6. Try mindful meditation. Several small studies have found that mindfulness and meditation can help with overactive bladder. At the Loyola University Chicago Health System, for instance, a small group of women who listened to a 15-minute guided meditation twice a day for 2 weeks reduced their number of incontinence episodes from 38 per week to about 12. Subjects underwent a series of relaxation exercises and then were asked to picture the physical condition between their bladder and brain, visualizing the part of the brain that controls the bladder getting stronger and stronger. 7. Consider acupuncture. Some patients find that acupuncture can help minimize those mad dashes to the bathroom. Acupuncture stimulates strategic points on the body with super thin needles. New techniques also send an electric current through the needles. A 2022 Cochrane review of 15 studies with 1,395 patients determined that acupuncture was slightly better than medication at improving the symptoms of overactive bladder, although the researchers noted that more high-quality research was needed. Acupuncture also has fewer side effects than medication. 8. Cut down on nighttime fluids. If you find yourself hitting the bathroom more than once a night, try to minimize how much fluid you drink after 6 p.m. As many as 60% of adults over 70 wake up two times or more during the night to pee, studies show. Besides making you feel tired the next day, frequent nighttime awakenings have been linked to a lower quality of life, depression, and a higher risk of falls. Taking a diuretic or water pill for high blood pressure or a heart condition just before bed can exacerbate the problem. This doctor recommends asking your doctor if you can take it earlier in the day instead. And finally, 9, seek medical intervention. If you have overactive bladder, your doctor can prescribe a medication to help weaken the urge to urinate. Other treatments include nerve stimulation, Botox injections, or, if you have a severe case, surgery to implant a bladder pacemaker that can help control bladder function. This article was by Michelle Crouch, who's a contributing writer who covers health and personal finance. And the sidebar article with this is how to Kegel. Both men and women can benefit. Identify the right muscles by trying to stop your urine stream mid-flow. You can do a Kegel anywhere, but lying down might be easier at first. Practice Kegels with an empty bladder. For short muscle contraction, quickly tighten the muscle for 1 or 2 seconds and release for 1 or 2 seconds. For long hold contraction, gradually tighten the muscle for 3 seconds, then relax for 3 seconds. Work up to about a 5-second Kegel and then relax for 5 seconds. Eventually work up to a 10-second contraction with a 10-second rest. Well, since we're on the subject of health, let's look at Ask Dr. Adam. A top internist and cardiologist answers your questions with surprising doctor-tested tips. How can I keep my blood pressure down over holidays? It's borderline high. Dr. Adams. Celebrating with with family and friends is important for our emotional well-being. I encourage the millions of Americans who have borderline high or elevated blood pressure to go out and have fun, but take some precautions. To keep blood pressure in check, it's important to pay attention to lifestyle choices. Making small changes can have a big effect. Minimizing salt intake is a good example. The American Heart Association recommends older people limit their sodium to no more than 1,500 milligrams a day. Drinking water helps to move sodium out of the body through the kidneys, so be sure and stay hydrated. Exercise is another way to keep blood pressure down. I recommend at least 150 minutes per week. Walking is a wonderful activity, especially after a big meal. One recent study found that adding only an additional 5 minutes of exercise per day to your usual routine is linked to a drop in blood pressure. When you're overweight, your heart has to work harder to pump blood through your body. That's why weight is a strong predictor of high blood pressure. Limiting the amount of sugar and carbs you consume can help keep off those extra pounds. Of course, it's tough to resist desserts now and then, but try not to overdo it. You'll also want to get enough sleep. Research from the American College of Cardiology found that people who get less than 7 hours per night have an increased associated risk of getting high blood pressure. And alcohol directly affects your blood pressure. If you've had a bit too much one night, you might want to switch to seltzer for the next few evenings. While stress during holidays can raise blood pressure, studies show feelings of gratitude not only lower stress levels, but also improve blood pressure. May you find a reason to celebrate every day of your life, no matter the season. Next question, why am I always so cold? Dr. Adam, several reasons can explain why we are more likely to feel chilled to the bone as we age. First, our metabolism slows down. As we burn calories, our bodies generate heat. If our metabolism isn't running on full blast, we'll feel colder. Second, the fat layer under the skin starts to thin as we age. That layer of fat is insulation that works to conserve our body's heat. The thinner the layer of fat gets, the colder you may feel. Hands and feet typically feel the coldest. That's because as we age, our blood vessels lose their elasticity, which reduces the ease of blood flow, especially to our extremities. Moving our bodies keeps us warmer. Since older folks generally don't move as quickly, we're going to get colder faster. Some medical conditions, such as diabetes, low thyroid levels, called hypothyroidism, and certain types of heart disease and anemia, can also contribute to our body's temperature dropping. And there are some commonly prescribed drugs that can contribute to making you feel chilly. Blood pressure medications, particularly beta blockers, can make you feel cold because they slow down your heart rate, which may reduce blood flow to your hands and feet. How can you warm up? Pay attention to your core. In the winter, I wear a thin vest under my suit jacket, and then I wear a coat over that. The layers keep me cozy. Preparation is important, too. Let's say you know that you're going to be taking a long walk on a frigid day. Once you're very cold, it takes a long time to warm up again. If you can, plan for places where you can take a break from the cold before that happens. This article was by Adam R. Rosenbluth, MD, who practices and teaches in New York City. Each Monday online, he answers your questions about how to make your body work better for you. And here's a little sidebar. For more advice on living better, go to aarp.org/members-edition. Should you leave a perfectly good marriage? When you feel your spouse is holding you back, go to aarp.org/in-the-mood. A smart guide to keeping your memory sharp. Tips for keeping your brain healthy as you age. aarp.org/sharp-memory. Ways to protect your online privacy. How to avoid advertisers from tracking you. aarp.org/tech-guru. Now let's look at a few short items from AARP, the magazine. Brain games for pets. Because fetch and tug of war are so basic, what tires out dogs more than physical activity? According to Pet MD, it's mental stimulation. And an easy way to provide that is with a treat-rewarding puzzle toy. With these toys, dogs get to forage and problem-solve on how to attain their food, which is a very natural dog behavior, says Ali Bender, co-author of Canine Enrichment for the Real World. Cats can get in on the fun, too. Bender recommends a toy that flips and moves. These turn your cat into a little physicist, having to figure out the trajectory of where the toy is going to be after it flips. Plus, it's fun to watch. Now, here's one. Prepare to be blown away. There are many uses for a leaf blower besides the obvious. Easy cleaning debris out of your garage. Drying your car after a really good wash. Drying pavement after a storm. Getting rid of outdoor spider webs. Cleaning snow from your front porch. And safely clearing out downspouts at ground level. And here's an article on, there's money in that box of old cables. Before you dispose of that knot of cords, separate the treasure from the trash. You may think these old electronic cords you've been hanging on to are useless, but before you get rid of them, check to see if you can mine them for some cash. Fans of classic tech have created a market for missing cables. Here's a few to look at, and prices may fluctuate. In the interest of time, I'm just going to give you the name of the cable and the resale value. DisplayPort. It's usually black and similar to an HDMI cable. $5 to $150, depending on the length. Then an SCSI small computer system interface is $18 to $50. A DVI digital visual interface is $5 to $45. Apple's 30-pin connector is $5 to $15. Nintendo GameCube component is $150 to $200. And an Xbox high-definition display cable is $60 to $90. There is one prominent online reseller, usedcable.com, that buys such products. Or you can list your items for sale on Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, eBay, Etsy, or Mercury. Used video game stores may buy gaming cables. You can also look for a vintage computer festival in your community to find prospective buyers. Well, before the end of our time today, I have time for just a few more items on saving money. This is shopping online. Buy groceries on Wednesdays. If you're willing to possibly pay more for the convenience of shopping online, consider filling your pantry on Wednesdays. That's often the best day to get discounted items before they sell out, since more supermarkets adjust their prices midweek, says Stephanie Carls, retail insights expert at RetailMeNot. Get the heads up about price drops. Use sites like Honey or Karma to set up price drop alerts. You'll get a notification when an item's price is reduced. For pet care, get free or subsidized pet vaccines. Many communities have organizations that provide free or reduced price vaccines to low-income pet owners. Ask about it at your local pet shelter. Consider a pet wellness plan. An animal wellness plan allows you to purchase bundled preventive and routine care such as vaccines, checkups, and dental treatments for a discounted price. You can buy these through pet insurance companies and veterinary hospitals. Buy medications online before filling your pet's prescription through your vet's pharmacy. See whether you can find a better price on the online pharmacy. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join me next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.